IVM IVM
Hey everyone, this is your daily dose of everything that's happening in the world of NBA. I am Monish and joining me as he does always is Nishant and you're listening to The Airball Diaries. A lot of good games today and a lot of team performances, if I can call it that. The Philadelphia trio, Maxi, Harden, and Embiid combined for 84 points. They beat the Knicks pretty comfortably. Then the trio of Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis showed up and they came from behind and beat the conference leaders, Miami Heat. Jrue Holiday getting a game winner with two seconds to go. So that was good. And the Milwaukee Bucks showing everyone why they're still the favorites in the East. The trio, when they pop off like that, it's going to be difficult even for the Sixers to beat them. A lot of other fun games as well. The Rockets played a nice OT game against the Utah Jazz. The Phoenix Suns got to the 50th win, the first team to reach 50 wins this season. So a lot of good games going on. Let's get started. We have lots to talk about.
Whether you're an established sports person or a budding one, or simply a sports enthusiast, join us, Tanvi and Shlok.
We are two passionate pro badminton players talking policy, mindset and everything sport.
So tune in to The Millennial Athlete every Monday.
Only on the IVM Podcast Network.
Trust us, it's going to be lit.
Before we start the episode and talk about teams that I want to talk about, I have a rant here. And I watched the Sixers game yesterday and I'm seeing Harden play. And I'm like, where was this Harden just like 3 weeks ago? He is playing like the Harden that we knew of Houston Rockets. This is the Harden that we knew in the early days of the Brooklyn Nets as well. 3 weeks ago, he had a game against Sacramento Kings. He got 4 points.
Yeah.
There was no effort. Yesterday, he was...
Yeah, but he does this shit always, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's when he plays like that, it's so amazing to watch because he's so good. And it's also too disgusting because he could have done this when he willfully was not winning. And it kind of like irks me that the same player can be so good and so bad at the same time. It's just a rant. There's no analysis on this, but I just hate watching him play so well, but it's so good at the same time. So I don't know my exact feelings about James Harden and the Sixers right now. It's just weird.
Yeah, it's pathetic. Not the first guy or the last guy to do this. Yeah. There's plenty of guys that walk their way out of clubs like this.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think he lost like some 10 pounds. He looks at least 10 pounds lighter. And this happened in like, 2 weeks? What diet is he on that in 2 weeks that you lose 10 pounds and you're back to being so fit again? I mean,
I think it's really not that hard. For a regular guy, it's not that hard. Honestly, if you have the discipline to follow a certain set of calories a day, it's not that hard for any regular person. For an athlete with so much muscle memory that can pump weights in the gym, that's nothing really if they need to do that. It's really not much. But yeah, it's disgraceful. It's why I have very little respect for him. His career overall, I know the achievements are phenomenal and he's a great player. But in general, I can't really respect athletes that do this in their franchise. It's one thing to... You can make it clear that you want out.
Yep.
You can make it public that you want out. Your agent can come and say stuff. And then that's it. You're arm twisting the org regardless. There's really not much that you can do.
I mean, you do that 2 times in 2 years.
Year, technically, in a span of 12 months, you've done that twice. Yeah. Yeah. So that's just terrible. That's disgraceful. What Ben Simmons did was also petulant and childish. But A, is a lot younger. Put that down to some level of immaturity. But also, his situation was a little different. It was a case where it was a hostile work environment. For him, it was a legit. Whereas for the Nets and all the other teams that Harden throws these sissy fits and tantrums and walks out of, he's the guy creating the hostile work environment. Yep. Like these teams did nothing but give him exactly what he wants. Houston Rockets just bent over backwards for him, did everything he asked them to. We talked about this before, right? Yep. I ranted a bunch of times on this. He wanted Dwight Howard, got it, couldn't get it done. Wanted Chris Paul, got it, couldn't get it done. Wanted Westbrook, got it, couldn't get it done. Couldn't get it done. And then he's the one that throws a tantrum at the end of all this, forcing their arm to... It's pathetic. And then Brooklyn gave up everything. The reason why their squad has no depth and they're in shambles is because they gave up all of that to get this dude.
Yep.
And that trade was so impactful. It made the Cavs better. It made God knows how many other teams so much better because of the people that went out. And that trade eventually helped Mavericks trade get rid of Porzingis, some piece of that. It's like the Big Bang. So many planets were created out of that. So I don't know, it's just pathetic. It's not a good thing to see. I know it's a phenomenal talent, but it's a very sad thing to see on the court.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so the team I want to talk about today is the Cleveland Cavaliers, who lost the fifth game yesterday out of the last six. Now they're just 1.5 games above the Toronto Raptors in seventh spot, which means that the Cavs are quickly heading towards the play-in spot. They're just 4.5 over the ninth place Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, if this form continues, you'll see Cavs in the play-in tournament. And we were hoping that they would finish near the top just a month ago, right? When they were in this, they had this incredible streak, but they had this, they had this number of injuries that they had this season. We don't talk about it enough. I mean, because they've been winning, right? It's like the Chicago Bulls. They've had so many injuries, but they still managed to stay up there. Cavs are much younger, much less experienced in that. And it's impacted them more than it has impacted the Bulls. Sexton went out. They replaced him with Rubio, who was from the bench, and he started starting, and Rubio went
out. Then he went out, yeah.
They replaced him with Rondo. Rondo got injured now. Levert is in the squad. He got injured. Garland has missed the last few weeks. The number of guards that have got injured for Cavs, it's terrible, because this is a team that I enjoy watching, and I would love to see them in the playoffs. I'm sure they won't go beyond the first round, probably. Maybe the second round if they get lucky. But it's a great team to watch, and I would hate it if they had to miss the playoffs and play the play-in and get knocked out there, because you probably will face the Brooklyn Nets there, and then if you lose that, then you'll have to play one more game, and that one game could go either way. It could be the Hornets, it could be the Hawks. Hawks are tough to beat as well. Where do you see this Cavs team going? Do you think they'll drop? Do you think they'll make the playoffs even? They're currently sitting there in the fifth spot. They're tied with Boston Celtics, but Toronto Raptors are in great form. Brooklyn Nets has Kevin Durant coming back, so they'll come up. Hawks really will put a run together. We've been saying that from 2 months now, but I can see it coming.
Yeah.
It kind of looks scary for the Cavs.
They're trending down at the wrong time. That's pretty much what it is. Because Toronto, like ever since Siakam's come back, first of all, Toronto has just gone nuts since he's come back. It's just what FEV needed, apparently. Or the other way around. Maybe Siakam's what FEV is what Siakam needed all along. and they've been monstrous. For me, I keep saying this, Siakam is the Black Sabonis. It's exactly like that. Perhaps a little bit stronger, a little bit more athletic even. Can defend better for sure. So there's that with the Raptors. They're trending up. Brooklyn Nets, they've had a slump, but part of that slump was the lump that is James Harden, who's now, that cancerous tumor is now gone. And KD is coming back. And Kyrie, if those, I don't know what they call it, a GO, what do they pass in New York that makes it okay for him to play home games whenever that's coming. So there's that to look forward to, right? So it's good signs for Brooklyn. They'll move up, right? So Toronto, Brooklyn, good shape. Hawks, I agree. It's just one of those teams, those set of youngsters, they've got all the energy in the world. They'll make a run. Celtics suddenly are defending like the 80s Celtics, like the big four Celtics. So that's happening. Of course, they have their injury too. But it's just trending now at the wrong time. And this again goes to prove my point of me saying, I know this is not the postseason yet, but I've always said this, right? Teams that haven't once done it in the postseason, it's very tough to trust them to do what I have never seen them do. And there are very few exceptions. Maybe a Jordan-led Bulls, you'd want to take a punt on them, or Luka with the Mavs. And even that's an outside chance. It depends on where they finish and who they play. So for me, with Cavs, this again proves that, because with half a season's worth of evidence, we were really excited and we were jumping to conclusions, and we were already jumping the gun discussing what this team can do in the playoffs. Are they this season's Atlanta Hawks? And this is the world over, including us. I'm not saying any one person in particular. And again, this shows, so A, they were hit by devastating injuries. B, now let's say they come back from these injuries. Now, this slump is understandable. What next? Mm-hmm. What comes next? When they come back from injuries, it's going to be an uphill climb mentally to see where they've dropped and the kind of teams they need to overcome, because they need to hold off the Celtics, the Raptors, the Nets. You look at KD and Siakam, it can get a bit heady. And this is where their true metal gets tested. So again, until I see it, I won't believe it. It's a lot to ask of this team. Of this very young team to make this uphill climb, but it'll be very impressive if they do. If they don't, you know what? Not the end of the world. What was the expectation anyway from the Cavs this season?
Oh, not even to make the play-ins.
Yeah. So exciting team.
Projected to win 27 games this season, and they finished that pretty early.
Exactly. And they're already doing enough where people are now saying, can LeBron consider going back to the Cavs because they might win it all, right? Look, look where they've come from, where they are. So it's all right. But it's a young team that hit a few speed bumps and couldn't get done if they miss. But if they make the play-in games, that's for me really exciting. Mm-hmm. Because that's like a playoff preview. What can they do in a do-or-die game, like a game seven? That's the best case scenario, I think, that the play-in games, unless they can somehow get all the guys back and fit. In which case, I think they'll still be good for fifth or sixth.
You mentioned the Raptors, and that's interesting. I'm looking at the Raptors starting lineup, and which of these guys is the main option? Which of these guys is the fifth option? Every one of them has the capability of going and getting 25 points, 30 points, and winning the game on their own. All the five. Van Vliet, Anunoby, Siakam, Scotty Barnes even now. This team is incredible. Who's the fifth option on this team?
and that's why they were so bullish about Anunoby. If you remember, over the last two seasons or so, a bunch of trade propositions included Anunoby, and they're like, hell no, this is not. That's like what THT is to the Lakers, except this guy's actually proven it on the court. The other is just speculative talent. It's a special team. Nick Nurse, what do I keep telling you? Nick Nurse
is that a team that you would trust over the Cavs because they've been there and done that? Although absolutely, not all of the personnel is there, but the coach is there and few of those players are there. Siakam, Van Vliet even, right?
No, 100%. Absolutely. My answer would always lean to the team that I've seen do it, or some shell of that team that I've seen do it, that's still in good condition, versus a team that, on what are we basing our expectations of the Cavs? On half a season, right? Half a season is half a season, however recent it was and however impressive it was. First of all, finish the season, then we talk. And then get to the playoffs and do something. Show me something and then we'll talk. But with I also like the balance of this team, right? The Raptors, they defend very well. Something about the East team, suddenly everyone's become a great defensive unit. So they defend very well. They've got just the right mix now of size and speed, which was earlier trending more towards the size side of things. They moved on from Ibaka and Gasol, and it's a lighter team now, which means it gives them more mobile, more fluid options. Their pickups have been great. I think Birch has been okay for them. Barnes, Thad great. Young. Thad Young. Gary Trent Jr., we know, can light it up in the playoffs from deep. And I think FVV is now pretty comfortable running the offense in that role. He's grown into that role because earlier he had Kyle Lowry's shadow, behind which to operate. Then you have the side pieces like Precious Achiuwa and your Bouchers of the world and whatever. But they're not bad. They're not bad. Yeah. It's like Phoenix with all those nifty little players that can come in and give you bumps at the right time, right? So, absolutely, I trust them. They're a more complete team right now than the Cavs. The Cavs have a great starting five, a decent bench. But the Raptors are a more complete team for me, including and especially playoff experience.
Totally.
Hey, everybody. It's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On This Round Is On Me, Gauri has a conversation on building a sustainable luxury travel ecosystem with entrepreneur Jaisal Singh. On The Wire Talks, Siddharth asks American philosopher Jason Stanley to decode his book, How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them. On The Longest Constitution, Priya explains the concept of invisible work and how Javed Akhtar and the copyright law are connected. On Postcards from Nowhere, Utsav tells us an interesting story that connects West Indies cricket, jackals, and Mariamman temples. And on All Things Policy, the Takshashila folk look into the Ukraine-Russia conflict and its associated geopolitics. So, on a personal note, I wanted to let you all know that this week marks the 7th anniversary since I started IVM. I'm eternally grateful to the team we have here, especially Kavita Rajwade and Teja Sringarpure, who have been here since the beginning. They've seen the struggles, our eventual acquisition by Pratilipi, and our continued struggles to make podcasting a large and thriving part of the media industry. We have the best hosts in the world, and I have to say that I'm so glad and so grateful that they have chosen to work with us. And finally, I'd like to say thank you to you, the millions of folks who have heard or watched our content. All I can say is, you ain't seen nothing yet. I hope you join us as we continue this journey. In the meanwhile, do follow us on social media. We're IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And remember, if you're enjoying this show or any of our other shows for that matter, please do tell a friend. Also, don't forget to rate us on any platform you're listening to. You can also check us out on YouTube. To get a list of all of our channels, you can go to ivmpodcast.com/YouTube, where you can go to all the channels. And finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors this week, SBI Life, Bank of Baroda, Max Life Insurance, India Water Portal, and HDFC Life Insurance. Thank you so much for making this possible.
The same similar kind of teams in the West, talking of teams that are trending up, multiple players who can go and get their own win.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves, they have three players on their lineup who can go out and get 30, 35 points and win the game on their own. D'Angelo, Cat, and Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards has hit quite a bit of a slump in the last few weeks. He's averaging, over the last four games, he's averaging 8 points. He shot two out of the last 23 threes, two out of 23, and 56% from the free throw line. Something's really not good over there. Is it fatigue? Is it an injury that he's carrying? I know that he's missed the last game because of injury.
Yeah, the knee issue, yeah.
Yeah, so would that be troublesome for the Timberwolves? Because this is a team that's trending up as well. They are sitting pretty comfortable in the seventh spot, chasing that direct playoff qualification, but they won't slip to the ninth spot as well because the Lakers are so far behind.
Hey, so, I was just going to say that. Look no further, fam. You have cushion in the form of the Lakers.
Given where they are, they would have to either beat the Clippers or they get a second chance where they have to beat either the Pelicans, Sacramento, or the Lakers, right?
So Pelicans or Sacramento, I don't think Lakers are going to be there.
Oh, not even the plane? Okay.
No, they'll be there. They'll drop the first one.
Oh, wow. Okay. Think the Timberwolves will...
Look, I like... It's another young team. It's fresh. It's energetic. It's kind of what people were hoping the Hornets would be. The Hornets have their own thing with... You bring a guy like Gordon Hayward and you make him a key part of your team, you're always going to live and die by his fitness.
2 years in a row now.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you had shared that stat of the pre-Gordon Hayward was his post and just going to a slump. Opportunity for LaMelo though to find his place and become the driving force. Anyway, Timberwolves, I love that team. I've grown to love that team. Let me say that. I wasn't a big fan of any of these guys. Like I knew Anthony Edwards' talent. But the kind of things he said, it didn't really it felt like he was doing the NBA a favor by showing up, you know, initially, right? That's a little off-putting. But then he started, I don't know what it is. It's just, I guess, his age and fickle-mindedness because he did a full volta from basketball's not even my favorite sport to I want to be the MVP and the best player in basketball. What is happening with this guy? But I like it. I like what I'm hearing. So he comes in. For me, why I mentioned him first is... I think D'Angelo Russell is great. I think he's clutch. I think he's very impressive.
Yeah. I think he's improved. Like he doesn't take as many shots as he used
every
to
year.
And then he's facilitating the offense over there by being the distributor of the ball, right? So I'm very impressed by D'Angelo, what he's doing out there.
Yeah, they've got a nice little team. They added some veteran experience with Pat Bev and all these guys. Yeah. And then they have some nifty contributions coming in, you know, McDaniels and Naz Reid and all these blah, blah, blah. Beasley, by the way, is an underrated part of that.
Yeah, he's like the Jay Crowder. He can go off and get 8 threes in a game and then next game he'll go 0 out of 10.
Yeah, and most importantly, be a very reliable backup whenever one of their guards gets injured and he has to step into the starting five. I think Beasley is one of the more underrated players in that sort of role. But it's all about the starting five. And who cares about McDaniels or Vanderbilt? It's all about the big three. So, with Cat, incredibly, he's still fit this season. I have no clue how he has pulled this off. Okay. And I'm pretty sure once AD is fit, Cat's going to get injured. It's like the cyclical thing where, you know, two lions can't exist in the same. I don't know what it is about these two. But whenever he plays, he's phenomenal. Except in the playoffs, which is what their horizon should be now. In the playoffs, it boils down to the best players against the best players. It always happens. Very, very, very rarely do teams beat the best two superstars or three superstars on the court. It very rarely happens. It's always about the best players against the best. LeBron AD is so good that they sweep the whole league in the playoffs. Right? You pick any team that wins, right? But Giannis, so good that 80% there. I get him like 20% from the other two and they're good. So it's got to come down to these three. Now, in these three, D'Angelo Russell's improved. But he is, for me, there's a ceiling to how high D'Angelo Russell can go. I don't think he's a, we don't know how good this guy can be. We know he's pretty close to getting there. He'll get smarter. He'll get wiser. He'll get more efficient and make better decisions. But skill-wise, I don't think there's a lot left to be desired. Edwards is the guy. Ant-Man. He's the guy where we don't know how good he'll be. It's a bit like Jamorant. Yeah. It's a bit like Luka. We don't know where these guys, where the ceiling lies for these guys. Edwards playing the way he's been playing is a big cause for concern. I think it's an injury. I think that's all it is. He had some knee tendonitis, whatever that's been bothering him. Nothing else explains that kind of a slump, right? You can have a slump, but nothing like that. So, if he can come back and if Cat can stay fit, I really like this team. And I want to see what they can do in a do-or-die situation because planes seem likely for them. So,
since the start of the year, the Timberwolves have the best offense in the league. How does that stat sound?
I mean, it's an astounding combo of three young players all. It's just the situation. It's the right situation. It's three young players who don't give a damn about the title, who aren't really in a mindset of conserving their bodies right now because they don't need to. And who are all, they don't know better. They just go for it because they don't know better.
Yeah.
And that creates for this kind of magical numbers. It's good. It's an exciting team. I don't see them making waves or anything this season. I think there's still a little bit of piecing and figuring out to do. But if Towns is fit and Ant-Man gets back to the way he can play, this is a frightening unit.
Absolutely. Their first round series, if they finish in the 7th-8th spot, would either be against the Suns or the Warriors. So I don't see them beating those teams, at least in a game of seven-game series.
Oh, no way.
Are not happening. But what I can expect is that they'll make the games interesting. Like, they're not going to go down without a fight, right? They'll take the Suns and the Warriors would need to put out some effort to beat the Timberwolves. It's not going to be a walkover like if you're playing the Washington Wizards or something like that. But I think they'll make it interesting.
Yeah, also because not just the gameplay, the masala will make it interesting too. Because Wiggins, there's a whole bunch of history there.
With
Wiggins now on the other side. D'Angelo Russell, the other part of that trade, there's some history there. There's enough there. I think Draymond and Cat had a thing going on at some point. So there's enough juice there for a good playoff series, enough to keep the subculture going while the games are not on the air.
I think Draymond has a beef with one player in every team. It won't surprise me if we pick up one player from every team and Draymond doesn't like that guy.
Yeah, but he becomes friends with them later though. He's not really the wrong
man. It's that on-game, in-game competition kind of a thing, right? The other team that's been trending up and now in the 10th spot are the New Orleans Pelicans, who won by 30 points yesterday against Sacramento.
Yeah.
You could say one of their competitors for the 10th spot. They beat them pretty comfortably.
Yeah.
8 wins in the last 12. CJ McCollum has settled into his role pretty seamlessly. No effort at all. Brandon Ingram has not been impacted. Yeah, Ingram's not been impacted at all by the CJ McCollum thing. He's getting as many points as he used to get before as well. And we got some good news on Zion Williamson that he is recovering and the bone has healed and now he's ready to come back soon. Sure. They didn't give a timeline yet, but some kind of positive news, the first time this year at least. He was supposed to be back before the start of the season, so about time.
Yeah, he'll probably be back next season, except then Saturn is in the 13th house and it's not an auspicious time, so they'll probably bring him back in April or something.
This team is pretty interesting because they have now taken the 10th spot from Portland. Portland clearly are trending downwards and they don't want to make the play-in. It's pretty evident with the guys they put out on the floor nowadays. And they're not too far behind from the Lakers as well. So Pelicans might more or less cement this play-in spot. So you know that they're going to get one opportunity. One game could go either way. It could be the Lakers, they could beat them. And then you beat either the Clippers or the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see the Pelicans in the playoffs and probably might see Zion in the playoffs?
Nah, I don't think so. I think play-in is as far as it gets. this is the one team where I'll be confident the Lakers will win. Just regardless, this is the one team where people will be looking at all these kids. I think the Buddha people of LA will be pumped up enough to say there is no way I have this on my resume.
And also the Pelicans beat them pretty badly.
It's also if AD is playing, that'll be double personal for him, right? It can't be that he left them. They got a haul, and with that, all they hope is us in a playing game. It just can't happen. So, I don't think they're getting very far. And even if they win that first game, which I don't think they can, if they're playing the Lakers, they've still got to play a pretty decent team who loses the other playing game. But it'll be a pretty strong team, stronger than them for sure. So, I don't see it. I don't think. Zion coming back, first of all, is I will see it when I believe it. I don't think it is going to happen this season. Genuinely, I don't think it'll happen this season.
Yeah.
I think they'll find a way one way or the other, or he'll find a way. I don't know what the problem is, but it's not going to happen. I don't fancy the Pelicans against the Timberwolves. I don't fancy them against the Clippers either, to be honest. Clippers defend way better and they really step it up in the playoffs. So, even this Clippers with that coach will beat the Pelicans.
Oh, it's Clippers like are that. Amazing. Yeah.
So not happening. I don't really see them making the playoffs. Absolutely not. But underrated rebuild, for sure. I think from the situation they were, we spoke about this a couple of days ago with Drew and AD to get here this far. With a squad as exciting as this one is great, which begs the question, had they done what some people, including, and I want to point out to the world again, I told you so, had they done what they should have done, can you imagine how phenomenal this rebuild would be if they had Ja Morant instead of Zion in the squad?
Mm-hmm.
They probably wouldn't have needed to make that McCollum trade. They could have got somebody else in that situation.
Okay.
But they did. And so here they are. But it's a decent rebuild nonetheless.
You think Pelicans are good enough to hold off the 10th spot? They're better than the Portland Trailblazers, better than Spurs, better than Sacramento. None of those teams are making the leap over the Pelicans.
Yeah, they're not trying, right? So yeah, I think they can.
I mean, Sacramento are definitely trying, but they're not good enough.
Yeah.
Spurs, you don't know. Some days they put in the effort, some days they don't. Portland are definitely not.
Portland is chilling this. Now they're going to blow out and burn out games. Sacramento, yeah, they're nowhere close to being good enough. This is another team that will have to make major moves in the offseason. It's not there. They got one move right, which is to get Sabonis. Now, was it a good cost to pay? We'll see. But they're still not there. And honestly, who's the leader on that team? I have no clue who the leader is. Who's the guy calling the shots? Who's the one guy that everyone looks up to who can bring order in chaos? They don't have that. They don't even have it designated, I don't think. Yep. Forget whether he's
Sabonis is not that personality.
He's not. Absolutely not. Yeah. He's not going to be the best player on a great playoff team. That's just not going to happen. Number two, sure.
Okay. So the Pelicans cementing the 10th spot, according to both of us.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll see how that goes. That's all on today's episode. It's, as always, great fun talking to you, and I'll catch you tomorrow.
See you. Bye. Hey, if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to check out our other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app, ivmpodcasts.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on our social media. We're at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to us, and you know you do, you know you want to reach out to us and tell us that our opinions on your favorite players are trash. You want to tell us Magic Johnson is still better than Steph Curry and you don't think Steph Curry has changed the game. For all that and more, reach out to us on both Instagram and Twitter.
If you love cricket, listen up. The Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast is here for you. Hosted by DJ, Varun, and me, Ashwin, we bring a fun, fresh, fans point of view to talking all things cricket. Sometimes it's just the three of us, sometimes we have guests, including current and former international cricketers. For new episodes every week, check out the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast on the IVM app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working Monday to Friday, glued to your chair, making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcast from.